So thank you for that smattering of applause about the radio show. I appreciate it. Just last year, I retired after 35 years as the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. So I'm a classical music conductor. I conduct choruses. Much more applause for retiring than actually doing the job I currently do. That's good. But I conduct choruses and orchestras and operas and ballets and stuff. I did it for 35 years. I love this job. This story is about one of the concerts that I conducted, a cat named Harpo and a guy with a machete. So in 1982, I moved down here with my girlfriend from Boston to become the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. In 1983, because we were so much in love, we bought a house together. We didn't get married, but we bought a house because we were in love. In 1984, she went to Colorado to visit her sister and fell in love with a lawyer and dumped my sorry ass. I got the house, and in 1985, I do what you do when you get dumped. You get another girlfriend, and you take a trip to Europe, right? So we took a trip to Europe in June of 1985, and I came back on July 3rd. And before we went to Europe, some women who ran an organization called the Wyman Park Association called me up and said, we want the Choral Arts Society to do a concert on the 4th of July with 15 brass players who are in town for a brass festival. Can you do that? And I was an idiot, so I said, sure. Even though I wasn't going to be here for the 3 weeks prior to the concert. But I said, my assistant can prepare the chorus, and I'll come back, and we'll have a rehearsal on the 4th of July at 4 o'clock in the Wyman Park Dell. We'll rehearse 4 to 6. We do the concert 7 to 8. They have the fireworks at 8:30. Everything's going to work out perfectly. What could possibly go wrong, right? So the first thing that went wrong was the people who were writing the music, because music had to be composed and arranged for this, because there is no music you can buy off the shelf that is for 15 brass players and a bunch of people in a chorus, right? So it has to be arranged, right? So they were supposed to get me the music before I left for Europe so that I could bring it with me on the plane and study it and know it by the time I got back, right? They didn't get that part done. They got the chorus parts done. So when you're doing a concert like this, you need three kinds of music. You need the choral score, which has the soprano, alto, tenor, bass part. That's what the singers sing. You need the instrument part. So a trumpet part, a French horn part, a trombone part, and then you need the conductor score. At least I need the conductor score, which has all of the parts written out so I know where everybody plays, where everybody doesn't play, so I can point, you play now, you play there, you shut up, you play louder. That's what a conductor does, right? So they don't get the instrumental parts done. They don't get the conductor score done. They do get the choral score done. So I take that with me to Europe, and they say, we'll fax you the conductor score, right? So I walk into this hotel in Vienna in 1985, and I'm a snooty son of a bitch at the time, and I walk in there, and I say, my name's Tom Hall, I'm expecting a fax. Which in 1985 was just cool as hell. And of course, they didn't have a fax because the composers and arrangers who were doing this still hadn't delivered the conductor score, right? No problem, I'll get there. I'll get a good night's sleep on July 3rd. I'll wake up July 4th. I'll learn the music. I'll go to rehearsal at 4 o'clock. What could possibly go wrong? July 3rd, we go to the airport in Vienna, and the plane doesn't take off until July 4th. And I show up in Baltimore at about 3:30. And the rehearsal is supposed to start at 4 o'clock, right? So I said, well, clear customs, I might be a little late, but we could probably get most of the rehearsal in. This will all work out. What could possibly go wrong? So the customs agent looks at my passport and sees that my occupation is musician, and that one of the places I visited on our trip to Europe was Budapest, Hungary, which was a communist country at the time, right? So why is a musician who's this close to being a commie anyway visiting a bunch of communists? So we have a conversation about this. And the conversation goes until about 6 o'clock, right? So I'm in this holding pen at customs at BWI, and 6 o'clock they let me go. So we get in the car. These people from the chorus were taking me back to the house. We get to my house, which was thankfully close to Wyman Park. I go running into the house. I throw down my suitcase, and I get changed into my tuxedo because that's what you have to wear when you're a classical music conductor. Dumb idea, right? But in the summer, you wear a white tuxedo. In the winter, you wear a black tuxedo. So I needed to wear the white tux jacket that I hadn't worn for a year, right? And I walk into my bedroom to get changed, and I'm very late for this gig, which is about to start in like 30 minutes, right? and the room smells awful. And I open up the closet, and I see that my white tuxedo had been peed on by my cat. Harpo, my beautiful cat, was mad at me for taking off for 3 weeks, even though someone was coming in every day and feeding Harpo. Harpo was pissed that I wasn't there. So he went up to the shelf in the closet, and he peed, and it went all over my white tuxedo. And I had this yellow stain all over the thing. And it smelled horrible. And what did I do, gentle listeners? I put that damn thing on, and I went to Wyman Park. And I show up at 7:05. The concert's supposed to have started 5 minutes ago. And the first thing people say to me is, "What is that smell?" We'll talk about it later. I get introduced. I walk onto the stage. I have never met these brass players. I have met the chorus, but I haven't seen them for 3 weeks. I don't have the music that they play. I have a score that says it starts with the brass playing for 14 measures, and my score says 14 measures of rest, which means in musical terms, you wait for 14 measures and then you do something, right? So I kind of whisper to the brass, "Who plays first?" And they look at me, "You idiot, you're the conductor, you're supposed to know that." But they don't know that I don't have the music that they play. So this trombone player kind of meekly raises his hand. "Oh, you play first?" So I look at the trombone player and I start conducting. This goes on for an hour. "Yankee Doodle Dandy, you're a grand old flag." Now, I will say that having the choral score with a bunch of patriotic American music in my luggage at BWI helped a little bit, because how can I be a communist? I'm going to Europe with, you know, the music to "You're a Grand Old Flag." So that it did get me out probably earlier than I normally would have. So we go through this whole thing, and I'm counting my head off, and I'm just faking my butt off through this entire concert, right? We're almost done. We get to the last piece. I'm standing on a stage in a 95-degree day, jet-lagged, really smelling badly. But I am 5 minutes away from the best-tasting beer I have ever had in my life. And they're playing Stars and Stripes Forever. So the trumpet's and the audience is clapping along, and everybody's having a good time. And I look back here, and about 5 feet behind me is a guy, and he's dancing. Now, I'm not opposed to people dancing when I'm doing concerts. That's a really good thing. However, the fact that he was dancing with a machete wasn't my idea of a good time. Right? So he's dancing around with a machete, and then all of a sudden there's like five cops, and they're around him, and they're kind of dancing too. But they're doing a different kind of dance, you know? And they subdue the guy. He's not hurt. They get the thing out of his hand. He's okay. They escort him off. Just as we finish the piece, right? So we finish Stars and Stripes Forever. There's wild applause, mostly for the cops, but I think a little bit for us, right? So I look to the brass players. Five of them are from New York. Five of them are from Annapolis. And as it turns out, five of them are from Budapest, Hungary. So I say to them the only thing I know how to say in Hungarian, because my friend Lila Gábor told me how to say "thank you very much." I say, "Köszönöm szépen." And they look at me, "You speak Hungarian, you know? Fantastic." So I go off the stage, and they all mob me. And they start gibbering at me in Hungarian, and I don't understand a word of it. So there's this television crew from Hungarian television there, right? At least that's what they were supposed to be. It turns out they were the handlers to make sure that the guys from Hungary didn't defect. But there's a, you know, lighting guy, and there's a guy with a camera, and there's a guy with a microphone, and he sticks this microphone in front of me, and he starts speaking Hungarian. I said, "No, English, English." And he looks at me and says, "So, you are a professional conductor." And I said, I thought about it for a second. Well, I've just spent an hour on a stage smelling like a litter box, faking my way through patriotic music and nearly avoiding death by machete. "Yes," I said, "I am a professional conductor." Then he follows up with the weirdest follow-up question. And now, as a person who interviews people for a living, I can tell you this is the strangest follow-up question ever. And the question was, "What's that smell?" And then I told him the story I just told you. Thank you very much.